Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast on Almighty Baller Radio. I'm Justin Rowan, my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Today we got a special guest to help break down some of the Cavs' European acquisitions as well as the EuroLeague play of Jetty Osman. We got Trevor Magnotti on the show. Trevor, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
And I guess we might as well check in on Carter, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, hey, I think it's a little unfair that you didn't even ask me how I'm doing, but I'm well. Eurobasket's been a lot of fun. I noticed you called it EuroLeague, so good to see that. Good to see that you're starting off on a really strong factual note, but nonetheless, Chetty Watch is on.
Have you bought in a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, and we're gonna let Trevor talk a lot because he, actually knows what the hell he's talking about.
Hey, I act like I know what I'm talking about. I talk with confidence, okay?
Hey, we got a lot of sources, pal. From my perspective, I think he's been kind of what we saw advertised, and Trevor, feel free to disagree, but, like, he is super athletic. He has a pretty loose handle. Has decent playmaking vision. Like, he's been able to make, the right pass when he's attacked closeouts and stuff. The three has been, touch and go. Sometimes it's looked really good. Sometimes it's looked not. And he really doesn't have the ability to isolate off the dribble, which he's not going to do in Cleveland anyway. Trevor, is that fair?
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair. I mean, he's being used outside of the context of what the Cavs are ever going to do with him. This Turkey team, they've been competitive in all three of their games so far, but it's not a very strong roster. I mean, Osman's basically playing as a secondary initiator. You got Furkan Korkmaz, the draft and stash guy for the Sixers, who's like 14 years old still. He's their primary creator.
So little.
Yeah. they're relying on him as like this secondary pick and roll ball handler. And it's like every time they try to run that, it takes Osman isolates like he's, like he's Jordan Clarkson or something, and he's got 17 seconds of the shot clock to actually get into the pick and roll before he even starts to attack the basket. So, I think that he's playing a little bit out of position, and that's what's affecting his shooting a little bit. But he's still making all of those little hustle plays, those little smart moves off the ball, rebounding really well, all of those little things that, were what the Cavs liked about how he played at Efes in the EuroLeague, and are kind of some of the reasons that we've all been super high on him. Is he plays very smart. He does a really good job of doing all of the little things. He's a really surprising athlete, as several EuroLeague level players have found out in this tournament, because he's had like five chase down blocks in transition. I think that he's overall playing pretty well, just a little bit out of position, and kind of showing us what his ceiling is.
I'm a little bit curious. He seems to have done a really good job drawing free throws in this tournament. Is that something we can expect from him? Is that just a bit of an anomaly? Like, to some extent, it makes sense because of how athletic he is and how he attacks the basket. But I also wonder if just his awkward... just how awkward he is and sometimes uncoordinated helps him draw those free throws, or if it's really a skill and something that he's done throughout his career.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up right now. He averaged 3.7 free throw attempts per game this past season, which is pretty solid. That'll usually equal out to about 6 or 7 attempts per game at the EuroLeague level per 40 minutes. So that's not bad. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that he does do a really good job of kind of drawing contact on those drives, whether it's because he's a little bit uncoordinated, or because he's really good at the like shoulder duck stuff that like you see with like a James Harden or DeMar DeRozan, guys who get to the line all the time. Part of it also, and I'll say this is, you know, I'll try to say this as carefully as possible. Part of it's because they're playing in Istanbul in the group play. And home court refereeing is definitely a thing to an extent, different levels, different places, but that's definitely a consideration there as well. So he's probably not this good at it, but he is pretty good at getting to the line on those drives because he does absorb contact really well.
Yeah, he really has seemed to, like, he doesn't shy away at all, I've found. And I think that's an encouraging thing, especially, like, because I feel like a lot of his value for the Cavs when he does get on the court is going to be in transition as kind of a flanker. You know, like, I mean, Richard Jefferson still does a really nice job as a flanker in transition and rim running pretty hard along with LeBron. And I think that there's value in that, and that's something that the Cavs don't have right now.
And even we saw Derek Williams for a stretch be an effective player just because he got out in transition and ran and he played hard. And, like, that's something the Cavs just haven't had. They haven't had a young guy that's willing to get out and run and transition and take advantage of those opportunities. So I think Osman might be able to bring some of what Derek Williams brought, only with more defensive upside. Although, of course, it's going to take some time for him to adjust to the NBA. And with the wing depth that the Cavs now suddenly have, I think it would be a little tough for him to see meaningful minutes early on. Trevor, what's your kind of read on what you believe his role will be with the Cavs this season?
I think you're exactly right. I think he's going to get squeezed out to an extent by the depth that they already have. Even at the beginning of the summer, before they were able to get guys like Jeff Green, like Jay Crowder, I kind of thought that he was going to spend probably the first like month and a half in the G League. I thought that he was going to probably take some time to adjust, get some real minutes before they kind of threw him into the fire. Because we've seen with other guys that the Cavs have had in recent years, and this is going back even to Sergei Karasev in like 2014, when they throw these guys into the fire, it doesn't usually go well. I'm assuming they'll probably take it a little bit more carefully, put him in Canton for a little bit. But I think he can eventually earn some rotation minutes. I think that in the regular season, he provides a little bit more value than some of these other guys might, just because of, you know, he is a young guy who's actually going to, like, give a shit. And that's going to be a little bit valuable.
LeBron will get that fixed real soon. Just figure out, really. Excuse me, young man. What the hell do you think you're doing? Do you think they're gonna bond over chase down blocks? Do you think that's gonna be kind of like their connective tissue?
Do we know if he drinks rosé?
I do not. I wish.
LeBron sucks. I hope so. Yeah, I'm not really a beer guy. Mostly a rosé guy.
I think that's probably the only thing that they could possibly bond over at this point. So,
they can bond over is problematic facial hair. Because sometimes I hate LeBron's caveman beard that he'll do with no goatee or mustache.
Yeah.
and then Chetty's got this awful, like, wispy goatee. It's like, what are you doing, man?
Hey, lay off terrible facial hair, okay?
Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, we just need to sign him up for Dollar Shave Club.
I think that
with his Head and Shoulders sponsorship,
and whoever else wants to sponsor us.
Well, I was talking about Chetty because he actually has a Head and Shoulders sponsorship.
I know this, but we can help facilitate it.
It's mostly about our bottom line, but it's not always about our bottom line.
I think there's significant.
I'm here, so clearly, it's not about your bottom line.
I think there's a significant potential for Chetty to be the guy that shows up in the squad photos instead of Kevin Love. Like, he's going to be that random guy that just shows up in all of these pictures, and we're like, okay, why?
I think you've got a really good chance. I bet this kid's cocky as hell. He's like 20, 21, however how old he is. Athlete, probably rakes in Turkey. Yeah, he's going to get along with JR.
Yeah. You know what's the kind of the X factor here is he's actually going to get along with Kevin Love and Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye too, because this dude is a massive Star Wars nerd. I don't know if you guys have seen the video. There was a dunk contest in Turkey last year, and him and Korkmaz went out in like full like Jedi lightsaber gear and did their dunk in that. Like he's a massive Star Wars fan. So I think chemistry wise.
How much are you trying to make me fall in love with this man?
Well, I thought you were already there.
And we already have the Jedi puns built in. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, and that's his nickname. Like, oh, there's so many Jedi puns to make. I've already started with the New Hope.
I think a New Hope's really good, especially if LeBron leaves.
Yes. Oh, God. Well, at that point, I'm probably not going to be in a mood to make jokes, even.
I'll be okay. I've been emotionally prepping, so I think I'll be capable. I guess my question is like, so he might be able to earn like some garbage minutes, but I don't think that he ends this season as a member of the regular rotation. Do you?
I mean, if you want to get literal with it, I think he will be part of the regular rotation for game 82.
He'll play in 82 for sure. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think there's no minutes because you have to give Jay Crowder almost all of the backup 4 minutes as well as almost all of the backup 3 minutes just to get him to his like 30 minutes a game that he deserves, right?
Yeah, I think that the one way that he is in the rotation in April is if, you know, the unthinkable thing of Derrick Rose being a complete and absolute dumpster fire, if that somehow happens and they aren't able to pick up a replacement, like whatever, the Bulls are the Bulls and Dwayne Wade thing falls through and they can't really find a suitable replacement, and Isaiah Thomas, they still aren't comfortable handing him just 42 minutes a game, I think that he could maybe slide in a lot of bench lineups as like the nominal one, just replacing Iman Shumpert in that role because he might be better than Iman Shumpert at that. So I think that that's kind of his one path to getting minutes. But yeah, it's a little bit outside of his control. I don't think that there's really anything that he can do to really earn those minutes just because of the depth. I think it's more just kind of situational, and he may be the best thing that they have when it comes April 1st, and they might play him because of that.
I will say it's probably better to have Jetty Osman as your break glass in case of emergency player than James Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah, I do feel like if anything, this is something we've kind of talked about before, but, you know, as we're kind of seeing Jetty, you know, kind of come into form and this trade has finally gone through, and Trevor, you can answer this first before Justin, because Justin gets to talk all the time. Are the Cavs better at the start of this season than they were at the start of last season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, last season we were talking about, like, we were seriously entertaining the idea of Shump as the full-time backup one, and we were trying to get excited.
It wasn't entertaining. That just happened until, like, February. Like, he was the backup point guard and shooting guard.
Yeah, but we were saying, like, man, this might be the best option that we have, because it was. Otherwise, we were trying to talk ourselves into Kenny Felder, and that was about the most, you know, that was about the biggest way that the Cavs could get better, was, you know, him actually being something. So I definitely think that they're a little bit better. You know, they've solved some of the age issues. They've got a backup point guard. They've finally gotten themselves a backup five, potentially. So, you know, Tristan Thompson's not going to die in late January.
But the problem there still is, to me, is that they already had a backup five because Frye can't play the four. Like, I still felt like this is a team that kind of needed a four. I guess Jeff Green is probably going to play that to some extent, and Jay Crowder is going to play that. But I do think, like, if you're Ty Lue, you're choosing between Zizic and Frye at the backup five. I don't really think you can ever play both of them together.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like, based on situation.
Which is fine with me.
I think it's going to be like those situations where, you know, Tristan gets in foul trouble or they get up on somebody early, and that's when he's going to come in, just kind of those minute saving times where, you know, right. Tristan would play with the bench units even though he's playing just as much as the rest of the starters, and he needs to be saved as much as the rest of the starters. So it's mostly those things that he's going to be there for. But I think overall the depth on this team is just way better. Last year at the beginning of the season, it was a lot of stopgap stuff. And this year, I feel like they're closer to than they were until probably February, right around the trade deadline last year.
Right, and I think there's also going to be a lot of situations where Kevin Love plays as the center, like especially if it's against a better team. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of times where Love's playing at the five, LeBron at the four, and Crowder at the three, because they just need to do things like that to get those guys the minutes they all need. But I definitely agree that in situations where they need a more traditional center and Tristan's in foul trouble, or it's just one of those games where Zizic has the ability to play.
Physical.
Yeah. I can see him playing against, like, Detroit, for example.
Trevor, can you give us just a, you know, like, Zizic is a guy that, you know, some of us saw in Summer League. He was a little underwhelming there, but can you give us, like, and if you guys don't follow Trevor on Twitter at Illegal Screens, you absolutely have to, because he's one of the best EuroLeague resources that I know. Can you give us a little scouting report on kind of what people should expect from Zizic?
Yeah, so I think he's a player that's along kind of the Mozgov mold, just kind of this big, burly, strong center that also runs the floor really well. And I think that he's going to be kind of your prototypical, you know, outlet option at the five, particularly kind of offensive focus. He's a little bit better on offense than defense, but really good finisher. Finishes at the rim really well with both hands. Pretty good screens. Uses his body pretty well to free up guards. Not really much of a passer. Can shoot a little bit out to like 15 feet, and that's an area that I think he needs to continue to improve in to eventually have like maybe a starter's role in the league. He kind of dabbles with an outside shot right now, but it's definitely nothing consistent. Mostly he's going to be going at the rim. He shot like I think 67% from the field last year. Was shooting upwards of 70% in Croatia, where he started the season, and then continued to have some success as a pick and roll option when he moved to Turkey and moved to the EuroLeague level. Defensively, he's not really gonna bring you much rim protection. He's not a very good defender in space right now, but he's a really good rebounder, and he's one of those guys that is just a load to deal with on the defensive glass, and he can kind of be an intimidating force as well.
If I can briefly interject, defensive glass is one of the Cavs' biggest problems last year.
Yep.
They completely fell off on that end, and it really hurt them. So I think there's value in that.
Yeah. So, and I think that he is going to bring a little bit value just because he is so big, and the idea, he may not have the technical skill and he fouls a lot, but him trying to challenge people at the rim is going to be a little bit of an intimidation factor. I mean, there were games last year against EuroLeague centers who have been in that league for a decade, and some of these best international centers out there. And they would go up against Zizic and just have terrible games, because every time that they went up for a post-up shot or got the ball in a roll to the rim, he was just right there. And it's basically like, you know, a middle linebacker that's meeting a running back 30 times a game at the line of scrimmage. Like, eventually you're just going to start shying away because you're tired of getting hit.
Right.
And that's kind of what he does. He's more of kind of a physicality guy.
He can burn his fouls.
Yeah. He definitely. I think that's going to be less of a problem in Cleveland than if he was somewhere like, you know, Philly or like Sacramento, where he was being asked to play like 24, 25 minutes a game. Here, I mean, he can basically just come in, be a role option. I'm really excited for when they try LeBron at either the 3 or 4, and then Zizic at the 5, and they just run both of them in the pick and roll together, because you've just got two 275-pound dudes just crashing at the rim, and I don't know how teams are going to deal with that. But yeah, I think he's going to be kind of your energy guy. He's going to be a little bit he's going to be a little bit chaotic at first, as he adjusts, and as we saw at Summer League, just because he still doesn't really have a full grasp of how to use his size. But I think he brings some value on the defensive glass and as a finisher.
I think having legitimate pick and roll options for Isaiah Thomas is also going to be really good. Like, that's just not something he's had a ton of, and having both Tristan Thompson and Zizic that he can work with in the pick and roll, as well as Kevin Love, who could get him some of those looks that Al Horford got him in kind of the pick and pop and high post handoffs, I think it's really going to benefit Isaiah Thomas and help his transition by giving him a tool that he hasn't necessarily had a ton of in his career.
Yeah, and it occurs to me that the Cavs can now run a damn near Indiana Pacers right after the Mouse the Palace-esque 4 white guy lineup. You can run Korver at the 2, Osman at the 3, Love at the 4, and Zizic at the 5. I mean, that is positively Pacers-esque. Like, the Psycho T Pacers.
No, we can do more, because we've got Calderon.
Oh, come on, yes!
But he's Spanish. Awesome. He's Spanish.
We can take this back to 1959 out here.
And, I think they really got to go with Richard Jefferson in that lineup, just because he talks like he's making fun of how a white person sounds.
Yeah, he does the Chappelle white guy.
Yeah.
Well, Rondell. So yeah, it's interesting just how quickly this team went from like, so obviously the oldest in the league to like, oh, they're not that old. like they got, you know, you move from James Jones, Dante Jones, like these guys on the end of their bench that are like clearly not going to be a factor. And then you have Zizic, who's 20. You have Crowder, who's only 27. So he's entering his prime. You have Osman, who's 22. And these are guys that, you know, the Cavs are, these aren't Eddie Tavares and Kate Thaller, who I think we all kind of knew, like, it would be optimistic if they ever were, like, contributing to a good team. Like, we believe that Zizic and Osman have a real shot to be good players in this league, right? So it's nice having this little, you know, underbelly of a future that kind of makes you feel a lot less terrified if LeBron leaves.
Especially when you pair that with the pick.
You pair that with the Brooklyn pick, and you really can all of a sudden start rebuilding on the fly pretty well. So I think it's fair to say Kobe Altman's done a really nice job with this. It's funny because we were just lighting him up for the Calderon signing, and I still think that was justified.
Yeah, it's still Jeff a terrible Green, signing.
A lot of people really don't like Jeff Green. A lot of people don't like Derrick Rose. I still think Rose was better value than people want to pretend it was. It was worth a shot, and especially when you consider the fact that, like, you know, based on the comments from the road trip and pod with Richard Jefferson, Darren Williams did not have fun in Cleveland. Like, he didn't want to come back. He didn't seem to enjoy his time here. So, like,
well, luckily, Rose is not temperamental at all.
No, but the point is, like, you weren't getting Williams back, and I'm not sure you were going to get a better backup than Rose on the free agent market. Given, like, even guys I thought that might be available for the minimum, like Shelvin Mack, they went for like $5 million a year or some shit like that. And like, there's just nothing you can do about that. And then when the Cavs decided to give most of their mid-level to Osman, which I thought was right, thought that was fair and correct, that just kind of limited their options from there. And so I think Rose was a, you know, an understandable signing. And certainly, I'm certainly glad they didn't let their Jose Calderon mistake, like, dictate their behavior going forward. And then Jeff Green, sure, there's a flyer on that. Like, he's probably not even going to be in the rotation as it currently stands. He might be, because coaches seem to like him because Tyronn Lue coached him in Boston. But Then he pulls this trade, Kobe Altman does, and all of a sudden it looks a lot rosier in Cleveland. And I've talked to not on purpose, sorry. Justin and I were talking before the pod, like, Trevor, don't you just feel like for the first time in a long time, like, there's some, like, optimism around this Cavs team?
And we lost Trevor. So that's probably a good place to wrap it up. I'd like to thank all our listeners. We'll keep you in suspense there. Maybe we're even pitching a sequel here with Trevor dropping out of the call. But remember that you can subscribe, leave a review. If you want to find out Trevor's opinion on that, follow him at Illegal Screens. We appreciate him being on the show. So until next time, go Cavs.